Hello, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have Chad Boughton with us. Chad, welcome.
Hi, it's so good to be on. I'm happy that we can make this happen after the troubles we had last week trying to record. So I'm very happy that I could be on today.
Well, that's okay. Like I said to you, you know, like I used to have a sign on my desk at CBS that said, it's only TV. No one's going to die today. You know, technology is quirky and so are people. So I just take it and roll with it.
Yeah, especially with today's environment, you know, so much has become remote nowadays. So we kind of are at the whims of technology more so than we used to be, probably.
Exactly. Well, Chad, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So, hello, everybody. My name is Chad Boughton. I am the host of the disability podcast. Hindsight is 20/200. A little bit of a selfish plug. It's on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. I am the host of the podcast. I have published a couple of articles on accessibility when it comes to video games. And I'm just an advocate, you know, I just like to use the experiences that I have gone through because of my vision loss and just try and help people the best I can. And I also think the best way we can do that is to start conversations. So I talk to a lot of advocates, entrepreneurs, and organizations and companies that are doing some good stuff when it comes to disability. And just hopefully I can expose more and more people that become my audience to disability, because I think far often kind of the problem that we see is it's not so much a lack of empathy or sympathy. It's just they haven't been educated. So they don't know what they don't know. So it's my hope that I can kind of push the needle and make more people educated about the world of disability.
Well, and you do a wonderful job, Chad. Tell us a little bit about your blindness.
Yes. So when I was 11 years old, I was diagnosed with autosomal recessive retinitis pigmentosa. My parents knew from a very young age that there was something wrong with my vision. My mom will always tell stories of how when I was a baby, when she would read like picture books to me, she would have to hold the book right up in my face because I would just reach for the book because I couldn't see it when she would just hold it in front of me. So my parents knew from a very young age there was something wrong with my vision. So we weren't able to get a true diagnosis until I was 11 years old. So both my sister and I actually both have autosomal recessive retinitis pigmentosa. So we have both progressively been losing our vision. I have some usable vision, but it's not a lot. Honestly, the way I describe my vision to people, so it's easy for them to understand, is like, just imagine that you're looking through a straw. That is all I can see on a daily basis. And even though I have my vision, what's directly in front of me, it's become very blurry because my RP has progressed to the point where cataracts have formed above my eyes. So, you know, I can see in front of me, but there's a lot of days where it's really, really blurry.
And you have glasses on, so I bet a lot of people don't even realize that you have vision loss.
No, you know, I was on Twitter the other day and someone posted, visually impaired myth 101, not all blind people wear dark sunglasses or use a white cane. And I'm just like, this is the biggest myth that I've heard. It's just like, and I always joke and tell people, like, I didn't know disability had a dress code.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that my vision loss made it to where I have to look and act a certain way. And there have been many moments in my life growing up where I've had peers in the education system think I was faking my disability to get an advantage in my schooling. And I've had as much as someone seeing my mom and I walk into like a Walgreens where I'm using her for guided sight. And we come back to a note on the front of our car and telling my mom she should be ashamed that she's using having her son fake a disability so she can get parking. So yeah, I mean, an invisible disability, it can be very frustrating and exhausting because a lot of times people just, they really do think you're faking. And that's like, the thing that upsets me the most is like having someone tell me that you're faking or I don't believe you when I know for a fact that they were just in my body for 10 seconds, they would absolutely hate, you know, having what I have to go through.
You know, people fake having money. They don't fake having a disability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you'll see on TV where they'll have a show where they're supposed to have a blind person on, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And then that person's got dark glasses, a cane, and a guide dog. And it's like, okay, I think you got all of them covered. You know, just which one is that person using?
Yeah, there's a lot of tropes, to be honest. You know, I was talking about this with one of my guests on the podcast yesterday. It's like in the media, it's either like we are superheroes, we have some supernatural power, or it's the classic, oh, well, they overcame this hurdle and they're better for it because they realize that just because they have a disability doesn't make them a lesser person than anybody else. And it's just like, why do we have to regurgitate the same sappy, cliched story over and over? That's not disability in the real world.
I know. And, you know, I don't know what you think about the word inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, I've grown not to really use them anymore because we all have whatever challenges. And you're right. It's either like one or the other. You're like superhuman and you can hear things that other people can't hear. Uh-huh. And you know things that other people don't know. Mm-hmm. What's the craziest myth that you've come upon besides what you just said? Something that's sort of funny.
I mean, that superhero one is funny. I think a lot of people don't understand a lot of the assistive technology that disabled people use to go through their daily lives and, you know, be able to, you know, be productive. Because, you know, I am so productive because of the technology that I use. And I remember I was on YouTube and I left a comment and someone was saying something about visual impairment. And I was kind of trying to like dispel, you know, cause they said something wrong. And, you know, I was like, whoa, hold on. You've not done the right research here. And then someone literally responded. He's like, no offense, but if you're legally blind, how are you typing your comment right now? And I'm like, and before I could say anything, someone in the comments just like, dude, do you not know that there's screen readers in the world? And I'm like, all right, here we go. So I tell them, well, there's VoiceOver, there's stuff like, you know, JAWS and Zoom Text Fusion, all these other amazing stuff. And then literally his follow-up question to that, the same person's like, so are you like Daredevil? Do you like have superpowers? Like you're hearing, like, you can use it to like echolocation stuff. And I'm just like, no, that's not real. You know, people think that just because we can't see, or maybe if even we can't hear or talk, they think, oh, well, that means that all your other senses are superpowers because you've lost one. It's like, no, the reality is that we make them better over time by using them more. We train that sense to become better and stronger than other people because, you know, normal people don't use their vision as much as, say, a visually impaired person. We listen so much more because audio is so accessible to us. So that's definitely a myth I have run into as well. It's just, oh, so are you like Daredevil? I'm like, no, that's not real.
Well, you know what's funny is I always tell people I've gotten my best driving instructions from totally blind people. Like one of the people on our show, I used to drive her around. I used to drive her to the show. She's totally blind, made the best bread, the prettiest bread you've ever seen. Just nice. And she'll go, okay, well, there was the bump back there. So that means we're at Sunrise Boulevard. You gotta make a right. Okay, and then you're driving down the road. Okay, well, she heard something. She goes, that's, you know, like some sort of music from some store or something. Uh-huh. Then you make a left, get in your left lane. Uh-huh. The most perfect, down to the inch instructions, driving instructions that I've ever received from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we learn those patterns, like we, you know, not only audio cues, but like haptic feedback. So like things we can physically feel, like I, for instance, like I always know when I'm pulling into my neighborhood because we have two really big speed bumps. So the second I feel the first one, I'm like, okay, there should be a second. Okay, there's this, like, all right, we're in my neighborhood. So it's like, you know, like we look for those patterns. And I'm definitely not as good as your friend is, but you know, I have noticed throughout my life that I do pick up on those things as well.
Well, you pay attention, and somebody in the, when I first started doing this, described to me that the reason a person who's blind can do this even better because there's one sense off, and they described to me like, okay, you know, sometimes you hear a commercial on TV and you don't really understand what they say. Well, take one of your senses off, close your eyes, and next time you hear it, you will understand what that word was. And I try it all the time, and it's like, yeah, you remove one sense, it's like you don't have all these things coming in at you at once.
Yeah, like that's how I am with music. It's like I have such a deep appreciation for music, and I'm like to the point where I can like just listen and like, oh, I know this is Blue October or this is Avenged Sevenfold just for like the opening like strum of the guitar. It's like there's certain things like that, like when you like strip away one sense, and I found this definitely when it comes to me using my hearing. As you know, I think I'm a better listener and I can pick up on things a lot better than most people because I've just learned to listen better than most people.
Well, do you have a better sense of people's character as well?
I would like to think I do.
Well, you know what? Another myth is, I think when we think of blindness on people, we always think of older people. Uh-huh. But what are you like? Well, you're like 29, Chad?
Yeah. So, I'll be 30 next year. And, you know, that is something growing up that you hear a lot. It's like, oh, well, you don't look blind. And it's like, well, what were you expecting? Were you expecting like the, you know, like you said, I don't know how, maybe it's because of how media has portrayed them and, you know, how marketing has been used in the, you know, the past several decades, but it's just like, why is it when the second we think about disability or blind people or, you know, paralyzed people, do we automatically go to, oh, well, they're old and they can't be, and they can't be it if they're young. It's like, where does that age discrepancy when it comes to disability become? Because it's like, if you live long enough, you will become in some way disabled. I mean, it's true. I mean, like that's the thing about with vision. Like if you live long enough, I mean, you might not go completely blind, but you're not going to be able to see as great as you did when you were a young person. You know, like my dad's just now starting to use glasses in his 50s, but that's because his vision's gone bad. And, you know, you get slower as you get older. So it's just like everybody loses, you know, the ability to do something if they live long enough.
Right. But then on the other hand, also, you know, there are ways of keeping in shape. I don't want to say that. I don't like to fall into that, but you know, you just keep doing things and, you know, you're not affected as much. But there are certain things like, you know, like blindness that happen and, you know, that just happens.
Yeah. And it can come for anybody. It's like, I think that's the important thing. It's just like, there's so many people that lose their vision because of an accident. And you know, you can't plan for that. You know, it just, it'll happen. Or, you know, I've talked to many people where like they went in for a surgery and then, you know, after they healed up, their vision's gone, you know? So it's just like, you know, disability can happen to anybody. So I definitely think the whole, oh, well, you're not old enough to have a disability. It's like, well, I think that's a huge myth as well. It's just because like disability can be for anybody. It doesn't matter who or what you are, you know, race, color, sexual identification, you know what I mean? Just it can be for everybody.
Right. You know, the one thing I always think of is, you know, we say disability, but that makes it sound like the whole person's like gone to heck. And the part is only like one minor part and one small part of what we are as humans. You know, even if you're totally blind, there's still all the rest of your being left there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of nuances in the language, and definitely I've learned that. I'm not like a trained advocate or anything. I didn't go to college for communication, so I learned just as much as my listeners do when I do my podcast. It's like I've learned a lot, and I continue to learn a lot, and I think that's what I've liked the most about becoming an advocate is, I only have the perspective of me losing my vision. I don't understand what it is for someone to be, motor neural or, cognitive or auditory. I can never have those lived experiences. So for me, I don't have the understanding of what it's like to go through that. So I love doing my podcast and transforming it into just a disability. So, I started it just to talk about vision loss, but then I thought, well, I feel that's a little bit limiting. I feel like I should open myself up to talk to the entire community because I feel not only is it better for my podcast, but I think it's better for me as a person in understanding all the nuances in the language because it's, there's so much that goes into being an advocate in the communities that you talk to and trying to understand.
Sure, and it's being empathetic. I got an email today from I did a podcast last week. I'm doing your podcast next week, but I did a podcast last week, and one of the listeners wrote in to the gentleman and said, "Well, I know Renee. She was on one of our shows. I was on one of her shows a long time ago, and I thought that she was like borderline visually impaired or and he goes, but I was surprised she said she was sighted. I'm like, I am." I didn't lie about that. I am. But I took it as a compliment because maybe when he met me, he thought I was empathetic towards him and, that I had the basic understanding. And maybe he thought the only way I could have that understanding through, was through being blind. But you know, it's you, Chad, and lots of other people throughout these 21 years who have taught me. I'm not, I never took any disability classes in college or how to talk to people who don't see or anything like that. It's you really learn a lot from one another.
And that's what I love the most about my podcast because if I can learn something as well as my audience, then not only have I done a job for my audience, but I've done something for myself. I can take something and then make myself a better person, and just at least understand other people better as well. Because again, I only have one, perspective. And when you think about it, it's just one tiny piece in this, larger picture.
Well, it's funny. That's one of the reasons that I don't really find out about the people I'm going to interview until I actually get them on here because I want to learn right along with the listener. It just makes it a lot more fun that way. And I have to listen. If I'm sitting looking at a piece of paper about that person, I don't really hear what they're saying. So you've got the chicken noodle recipe today. You're the cooking without looking recipe of the day. Tell us a little bit about your recipe.
So I can't take credit for my recipe. Not at all. It's my dad's recipe. So I'm a big foodie. I always have been. Like I have no self-control when it comes to certain foods, like salty stuff, like chips and popcorn. Like don't even like give me that. I'll eat the entire bag in a single sitting. It's just like I like food is definitely one of my kryptonites. So I definitely work out as much as I can because I know I'm a big foodie. But yeah, I mean my. I feel like we all say my mom and dad are the best cooks in the world, but I think really there's nothing better than a good home cooked meal from a mom or a dad. My mom and my dad are amazing cooks, and yeah, so the recipe is my dad's. So this is something that he always made for us growing up when we were sick. So of course we've had canned soup, but I mean, like you said, like. there's something so much better about making it homemade and eating it homemade. It's just so much more fulfilling, more flavorful. So yeah, this is his recipe. And he actually
canned stuff.
He actually just made it this week because my sister had a bit of a cold, and anytime she gets sick, especially my sister, the first thing she asks for is, "Dad, can you make me some chicken noodle soup?" Of course, if he's actually here in the area. So, you know, he's visiting right now. So, of course, she hasn't been feeling well. So the second he gets in from his big conference that he was doing, she's like, "Dad, can you pick up stuff to do chicken noodle soup?" And of course, being the great dad that he is, he got some stuff for chicken noodle soup, and we all sat down and ate it last night. And I'm going to be having it again today for lunch because I think it's even better the day after.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, walk us through the ingredients.
So I don't have it in front of me. Oh. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I remember I saw red onions and I'm like, yes, he's speaking my language because it makes it look pretty.
Yeah, he does red onions. He does celery, you know, like celery salt. And then he actually uses a rotisserie chicken. So he has to debone it. So, you know, he goes and he buys like a big, you know, thing of like, you know, like a chicken from like, you know, Publix. And then, you know, he literally will just debone it. And then, you know, I ended up getting a little bit of a bone in my the other day. you know, had to take that out. But, you know, he does that. And then, you know, there's a bunch of other ingredients that I can't think of right now. But
well, everyone can go to our website, www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And if that's too long to remember, just Google cooking without looking and go to our website. That makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. I do not have a memory when it comes to recipes. I just read it and then do it.
So oh, yeah.
He puts it in a slow cooker. And I think that's really what makes a difference into the flavor. I really think, you know, it really has a lot of time to have like all of the seasonings and ingredients to sit and simmer. And, you know, he does it for, you know, quite a good amount of time and, you know, just has a lot of time to sit in all the broth and the juices, all those ingredients get to like kind of mingle together.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think that's kind of probably what really, you know, makes it as good as it is. And, you know, for us, my dad and my sister are gluten free. So we use like, you know, rice noodles a lot of the times because, of course, they can't do, you know, usual, you know, wheat noodles. That would be even worse. yeah, they do that. And what's funny about the noodles sometimes is like when they've had enough time, like to sit in the juices, they kind of soak it up and kind of get bigger than they were when you ate them the first day. So it's almost like, oh, if I wait, I'm gonna have more soup because the noodles are going to soak up all the juices and just get large.
You get these gigantic noodles. Yeah, taking over the world.
Yeah, like yakisoba, like if you're familiar with that, like the Japanese thick noodles. But yeah, I always enjoy eating that. And you know, he has a bunch of other recipes, you know, like he's such a good cook. I always tell him, like, if he ever retires and wants to keep doing something to keep himself busy, he should open his own restaurant because he could definitely make some money off of the food he makes.
Oh my God. And you know what? You can always change it up too. You know, I love mushrooms. I put mushrooms in everything, you know, except for my ice cream. Just throwing things in there. Mm-hmm. And the good part about it is, you know, like we were talking a little bit earlier with people complaining about their food bill or anything. You just buy this big 10-pound bag of chicken and you can make all sorts of things, and chicken soup can be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, that's the problem with, especially with the U.S. is, you know, we definitely take advantage of having a large amount of food when we buy it, but then a lot of times we don't really use everything. And definitely, you know, I grew up in a family where it's just like, okay, we're going to use every bit of the chicken if we can. If we have leftover, we'll do something else with the chicken, you know, who knows what, you know, maybe we have enough leftover, some like, maybe like for an Alfredo, or, you know, maybe we can, you know, just do like,
Parmesan.
Or chicken salad. It's just like, you know, it's like, why just throw the rest away when we could do something else? Because I mean, like, especially Publix, their chicken's so good. So like, why would you want to waste that good chicken?
Oh, I know, the rotisserie chicken's amazing. What city are you in?
So I'm in Florida. So I live out in the Tampa Bay area.
Oh, okay.
And what's funny is that Boar's Head actually has like a corporate office down here. So like, I've actually got to visit like their actual headquarters and see like their production and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's so good, because I'm like legit, I'm such a big fan of Publix meats, especially their deli stuff. Like their chickens, like their wings, like, you know, whether it's like their tenders or like,
they're,
you know,
flavored very well.
Oh, it's so good. Like I honestly joke around and say like, why go to a Subway or like a Lenny's when you can just go to Publix Deli?
Exactly. Yeah, they've got everything there. Mm-hmm. And the I guess the best part is, like I say, the seasoning is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that rotisserie chicken of theirs into a chicken soup, that's, you know, mm-hmm. that's all you need almost.
Yeah, they have a lemon pepper rotisserie one. I love lemon pepper anything.
I know. I just, I'm originally from Wisconsin. I lived in Miami up until like 2 years ago when the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. But I was introduced to lemon pepper only a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's my crack. I mean, that.
Same here. Like, I've always heard of like, you know, lemon pepper wings. And, you know, I love a good chicken wing. But I was always just like, I was more into like the wet sauces, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, like teriyakis or like, you know, like kind of like the ginger soy base. But then I just kept hearing like, oh, you should try like lemon pepper dry rub. And I'm just like, oh, no, that kind of sounds weird. Lemon pepper. And then, you know, I had it. And like you said, like maybe about 2-3 years ago before the pandemic hit, I had my first lemon pepper chicken. And I was like, oh, my God. Why have I not had this before?
Why haven't I heard of it?
Yeah, and like you, it's like my crack now. It's like, oh my God. I remember the first time I had a, like lemon pepper chicken, I was like, this is so good. And it was so good, and I wanted even more, that I legit ordered like a bunch of lemon pepper seasoning and chicken just to make it on my own.
I just kept
wanting to eat it.
Oh, I know, most definitely. Oh man. Well, Chad, thank you so much for being a part of my podcast, and I can't wait to talk to you next week on your podcast.
Oh my God, yeah, it's gonna be fun. Hopefully you won't get tired of talking about food and cooking, because definitely that's gonna be a big part of it.
No. I never get tired of that. I'm like one of those weirdos in the middle of the night thinking, okay, let's see, what do I have in my refrigerator? And I start putting things together in my head, so I wake up cooking something all the time. I just love it, you know. But mm-hmm. hey, if our fans want to reach out to you, how do they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Hindsight is 20/200. But if you would like to reach out to me, you can email me at cmbouton. So it's my first initial, middle initial. So C as in Chad, M as in Michael, and then the last name Bouton. So cmbouton@yahoo.com. But you can also follow me on Twitter. So at 2200 hindsight, at 20200 hindsight. Please just give me a follow. You can reach out, you know, anyway. I am really good about talking to people. They have questions, or just, you know, maybe even would like to come on the podcast if they're interested in that and have a story. Just definitely interact with me. I love to interact with people, so I am never shy of answering a question.
You don't seem like a shy guy.
Well, my mom would tell you that definitely growing up I was, but I've definitely come out of my shell now that I'm an adult.
And you've thrown away the shell.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, thank you again, Chad. And if you want to reach us, we're at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. Again, thank you, Chad, for helping us change the way we see blindness. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You too.